We shall turn then to the chapter that we read in the book of Numbers, and chapter 10, and the verse we shall read and consider as the Lord will help us. The words in verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. In this chapter there is an account of the two trumpets that sounded that were made in the camp, the children of Israel, and which were sounded to call to worship, to call to war, and to gather the princes. And these two trumpets were regarded not only on earth, but in heaven. As you have in verse 10, there shall be a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And these trumpets are like prayer. Prayer is a sounding of the alarm on earth by the true Israel of God, and it is heard in heaven. And that is how the Lord's people will make it through this world by often sounding the alarm in heaven, on the earth, so that it is heard in heaven. As those who, the disciples who were in the ship, They sounded the alarm. They said, Master, save us, when there was a great tempest. Master, save us. We perish. And how often the life of grace passes through such places, the life of the believer, so that he must sound the alarm, and that by prayer at the throne of grace, and it is heard in heaven. And these silver trumpets gave a clear note, and that is what the gospel should be, giving a clear note. The preaching of the gospel in one place and the preaching of the gospel in another place should be like these two trumpets. Both alike and similar. One saying amen to the statements of the other. One echoing the other. So that wherever a man or a woman or a child comes under the ordinance of God's house, that he would hear the same sound, the clear, certain sound of the doctrines of the truth, wherever the preaching of the gospel takes place. These trumpets were made by God's command, and they had their solemn use in Israel. And however one man may feel that or a woman may feel how comparatively useless she is in comparison with some other person. Yet we are not to judge things by outward appearances. God valueth all his people. And the prayers of the one are as valuable as the prayers of the other. And if we have the life of grace in us, we value the prayers of the poor as much as we value the prayers of those who have an eminent place or position in the Church of God. And you'll be praying for the cause of Christ and for the ministers of the gospel. And that the Lord would give utterance unto them, that they may speak and preach the gospel boldly, that they may have a liberty in doing that. That liberty that cometh from the Holy Ghost, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then the chapter takes us into the manner in which the children of Israel journeyed. First of all, they were led by the cloud that was taken up when they were to move, and when the cloud rested, they rested. And the Lord led them. He led them out of Egypt, and he led them through the Red Sea. And he went before them, and he came behind them. And he was a cloud and darkness to Pharaoh and his host. And he frowned upon Pharaoh and upon his host. And they discomfited him and destroyed him. The Lord said Moses, immediately after the destruction of Pharaoh, the Lord is a man of war. When they sang the song of Moses, after that victory. But the cloud did not leave them after they came through the Red Sea. The Lord guided them by the pillar of cloud by day, giving them not only guidance, but shelter from the searing heat of the sun. And it was a pillar of fire by night, that it may give light unto them. And what a beautiful type of or a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ that cloud was. And then we have the manner in which they journeyed through the wilderness, following the cloud that led them. And you have the tribes and the standard bearers. And then you come to this part of the narrative where Moses makes a request to Hobab. And the request to Hobab is that he would go with them. Hobab was familiar in the desert. He would know where the wells were. He would know the signs and indications of where water might be found, where fuel might be gathered, and other things that they, as pilgrims and strangers in the desert, had no experience of. And he said to Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto a place which the Lord has said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. And Hobab said, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. And Moses said to him again, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. That was the value Moses put upon the experience of Hobab. Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Well, there's no further response from Hobab. And we'll just leave that there. There are various views gleaned from the subsequent history. Some suggest that he did go with them. Others suggest that he did not, so we will leave it there. Great matter for us is that when there is a call in the gospel, that we would give heed to that call. A call such as Hobab here received. We are to say not what Hobab said, I will not go, but what Rebecca said when she was asked, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. Well, there are several things in these words in verse 29 that we should consider. First of all, the relationship of Israel to God. Those days, every nation had its own gods, they were gods of no consequence. They were false gods, they were gods that were local deities. Their aspirations went no further than their own borders. The God of Israel is not just the God of Israel. He is the God of the whole earth. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is not like the false gods of the heathens around them, local deities. The creator of the sun and of the moon and of the stars. The creator of the heavens and the earth. The creator of man. The hopes and the aspirations of the local deities, the tribal deities, they went no further than their own tribes. If you did certain things, certain benefits would accrue to the tribe, and so on. But the God of Israel was a God who had the whole earth in view. And the aspirations of the religion of the Jewish people were worldwide. It was the religion of the Messiah, the religion of the seed of the woman who was yet to come, that they had, who was to be not the savior of a few tribes, but the one who was to undo the work of Satan, the seed of the woman who was to bruise the head of the serpent, who was to be the savior of the whole world, not of a tribe here and a tribe there, but that in him all the nations of the world would be blessed. That is the God that is here, who has a relationship to Israel, and not like the gods of the heathen, small-minded, mean-hearted, imaginations of men, but the great God of eternity, the great God of creation, and the great God of redemption, and the great God that divided the Red Sea, and that halted the course of the River Jordan later on in their history, that is, of course, the great God that turned the waters of Mara into sweetness by the tree that was cast into the water. The great God of Israel, then, is a God who transcends the world, who is beyond the world, and yet who is in the world, who is not subject to the laws of nature, who can suspend the laws of nature, who can divide the Red Sea. There is nothing too hard for the God of Israel. That is the one that they have a relationship to then. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. That's the first thing. The relationship that they have to God. The second thing is the blessed profession that they have made. We are journeying unto a place which the Lord hath said, I will give it you. And that is the happy profession of Israel. It is the happy profession of the spiritual Israel also. And we wish to consider that in the second place. Thirdly, there is here an infallible security, a promise that cannot fail. It is the Lord who has said it. Faithful is he who hath promised, said the apostle. And that is what Moses says here to Hobab, a place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. And so they have an infallible assurance that at the end of their journey there is this blessed place of rest. And then fourthly, there is here true Christian love, or the true love that is a fruit of the true religion. I know that the name Christian does not belong to the church until the believers were first called Christians in Antioch. But it is the same religion. It is just a different administration of the same religion or the same covenant in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And here is the fruit of it. It is love. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. And then, fifthly, there is here a great distinction made. We will do thee good. We will do thee good. You will get some good, perhaps, by departing from us for a little season. But come thou with us, and we will do thee good now and forevermore. We will do thee good. With regard to the first thing, this relationship that there is between Israel and the great God of eternity. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. There was nothing in Israel that made them better than the Midianites or the Amorites. There was nothing in them as a people. This is a free grace. God did not bestow this favor on Israel because they were better than any other people. And he told them that. It was free grace. It was the free choice of a sovereign God who owed no debt to any, but who pitched his love upon this people and not upon another. And that is true of all the children of God. When it is written, some believed and some believed not. That believing is an evidence of the free grace of God, the sovereign act of God, who is under no debt to any man, making this one and not another, a vessel of mercy. And however the Arminian doctrine and the Arminian preaching may rant and rave against the doctrine of election, that is the only biblical foundation and the only rational foundation for the state of things as they are, that some believed and some believed not. Some believed and some believed not. Because God, as from all eternity, chose and elected some to everlasting life. And He hath chosen them to everlasting life, not because they were better than others, but I have loved thee because I loved thee. I have chosen thee because I have chosen thee. As soon as a sinner begins to look to seek the Lord, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. And as soon as sinner abandons the covenant of works as a way of pleasing God, turns away from his own righteousness as a way of pleasing God, and looks to the righteousness of Christ and to the blood of Christ alone for salvation, as soon as the sinner has these believing thoughts of God and begins to seek the Lord in that way, it can be said with regard to that person that long before he began to seek God and to have thoughts of God like that, that God had thoughts of him. For God had thoughts of him from a past eternity. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore, with loving kindness, have I drawn thee. And that is what is true of Israel. They were not better in themselves than any other people, but the Lord freely and sovereignly chose the seed of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, as his people to whom he would commit the oracles of God. And that is what we have here, this people journeying to the land of Canaan, which God had promised to them, and traveling from Egypt, God having delivered them from it. God is their God. I will be I am the Lord, your God, he said in verse 10. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Well, the second thing that is here is this, a happy profession. We, he says, are journeying unto a place of which the Lord has said, I will give it you. We are journeying to this place, concerning which the Lord hath said, I will give it you. I will give it you. Well, the land that was promised, or the place that Moses is referring to, is the land of Canaan, where the 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 place that God promised to Abraham, that he would give it to his seed. And to that place they were journeying. Now, the Church of God, it has a profession similar to this one. We are journeying to a place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. The Lord Jesus Christ said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We are journeying to a place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. The place to which the through Israel is traveling is heaven. That was true in the Old Testament and it is true in the New Testament. The place to which they are traveling is not on this earth. It is in eternity. In the great eternity of God. And the Lord has promised it to his people. And it is the hope of his people. It is the pole star of faith. The light by which they travel through the dark night of this world. That is their home. They declare plainly that this is not their rest. They seek a country, even an heavenly country. They know that the earthly house of this tabernacle is to be dissolved. And they look and they long for that house, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The Lord promised it to them. It's in the promises of the covenant of grace, eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is where they are traveling. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament also. Moses here is speaking to Hobab, and he's speaking about their journeying in the wilderness. And we also may take it up in that way, it's belonging to this life. The church needs those who will be as eyes to her on this earth. Moses had no disregard for the cloud that led them when he spoke to Hobab and said that he would be as eyes to them to help them with their encamping in the world. The Lord uses means. And the Lord uses men. And men have a generation work to do. And as one generation passes on, the heritage of the church is passed on from one generation to another. And each generation has a responsibility to pass on the heritage in our own land of the Reformation. The work of John Knox and Melville and the work the men of the Second Reformation, Alexander Henderson and Samuel Rutherford, and so on. Every other stand that was made on the side of the truth, a heritage behind us that we must carry and convey to our children. And how is the church to do that? Unless there is a willingness on the part of a man within the pale of the visible church to take up the cross and to follow Christ and to bear the burden in the heat of the day and to say, well, the gospel is for others. Well, that's the death of the church. If it's for others, if it's not for me, if everyone's applying it to somebody else, then the church is only going to decay and go down. And there will be one man or two men standing, bearing the burden in the heat of the day, endeavoring to convey to the generation following, against wind and against tide, the heritage and trust that has been committed to them, and while others stand by, standing by, they shall fall under the same curse as the children of Merah fell under when Deborah and Barak went out to war. And the children of Merah, they did not come to help. Curse ye Merah, is what was said concerning them. For they came not to the help of Barak and of Deborah when they went to the war. Fighting on the Lord's side and you're sitting on the sidelines. My dear friend, awake, it is time to awake. Not only your own soul, but the Church of God in Scotland is something that ought to weigh heavily upon you. The eternal well-being of your own soul and the future of the church in Scotland for our children and for our children's children. Now, the third thing here is an infallible security. And the Lord has said it. The Lord has said it. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. It cannot fail. The promise cannot fail. The Lord has promised concerning this company, journeying through the wilderness, that they will come to the land of rest, to the land of Canaan. And that rest and that promise is sure. And so the church in every age and generation, the church in our own age is on a journey. The Lord has given them a promise that they will come to the land of praises. The Lord has said it. The Lord, the beginning of the work in their soul is the Lord's. The continuance of the work in their soul is the Lord's. And the end of the work in their soul is of the Lord. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord has said it. We are journeying into a place of which the Lord said, Jehovah who cannot lie, Jehovah who is Jehovah Shalom to a Gideon. He is a Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah my banner to Moses. He is a Jehovah Jireh to Abraham. That is what he will be to his people in all their journeyings through this world. He will be Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah my banner. Moses held up the rod in the time of war. We read here of the standard bearers. Well, Moses was the great standard bearer in the war with the Amorites. When Joshua was in the field fighting with the enemies of Israel, and Moses was on the sitting upon a rock with the rod held aloft, and Aaron and Hur holding his hands up. Where is your ensign, Israel? Where is your banner? Where is your standard? But the only standard is this rod, this flagstaff with no banner on it. What is it? It's an unseen standard. Jehovah is my banner. Jehovah is my banner. and pointing with the rod to heaven, making an appeal to the God of promises, the God who has promised that he would be their help, that he would be their God, that everything that God is was theirs, and everything that God had was theirs. And he held up the banner. We are to hold up our rod with an appeal to heaven, praying unto the God of promises, beseeching him that he would come down and bless us, that he would give us the victory against our enemies, that he would bless Israel still, and the same Lord as Gideon knew when he built an altar and called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord has said, and he will not fail his people. Come now with us, and we will do thee good. We are following a God who cannot lie. And the desire of Moses, come thou with us, is a desire of love. A love for the cause of Christ, or a love for the true religion, and a love for the good of Hobab. And that is what is in the heart of every true-hearted Christian. When he would get opportunity to speak to his fellow men, it is a love to the soul of that sinner, and a love to the cause of Christ, that it would be strengthened and that it would be built up. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. And then here, lastly, there is a great distinction. We will do thee good. In the psalm that we sang at the beginning, we sang in Psalm 45, O daughter, hearken and regard, and do thine ear incline. Likewise forget thy father's house and people that are thine. How like the words of Hobab, of Moses to Hobab. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. And Hobab, having a desire to return unto his own land and to his kindred. And this is the call of Christ to his own people, that they may be brought with gladness great and mercy on every side into the palace of the King, and there they shall abide. That we may apply it to the Christless sinner, who is by nature departed by apostasy from God, who has left the Father's house like the prodigal son, and is now of his father the devil, doing the works of his father the devil, and may be said to be dwelling in that house, which is in direct opposition to God and to his throne and to his laws and to his ways. Well, likewise forget thy father's house. O daughter, hearken and regard, incline thine ear. Forget thy father's house and people that are thine. Forsake the foolish that you may live. Forsake the foolish companions, that you may live. Join with this company, despised, ridiculed, hated in the world. Yet they are on their way to a land concerning which the Lord has said, I will give it you. They are on their way to everlasting glory. In this world, they are made priests. They are a praying people. They have a spiritual priesthood. They offer up sacrifices to God. They are kings. They are engaged in a war. They have a princely spirit. It takes the courage of a prince to engage in the spiritual warfare, a war with sin and with Satan. And that royal priesthood, while they are here, is like the royal priesthood of their master. It's not seen by the world, however real it is. Yet the glory of their profession will yet be seen. Just give it an hour or two, or a day or two, or a month or two, or a year or two, and they will appear in glory, clothed with glory, walking as kings triumphant, and they shall have palms in their hands, and they shall be clothed in white, and they shall walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They shall be crowned with eternal youth. They shall be crowned with a fullness of blessedness, as much light in their understandings as their understandings can contain, and as much love in their affections as their affections can contain, as much peace in their conscience, as much joy in their souls, as their nature is capable of sustaining throughout the endless ages of eternity. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. And thou shalt be unto us instead of eyes. Come thou with us. You're never useful until you're in Christ. You may be useful in your own calling, but what is that? That is just for a few years here. But you'll be useful in Christ. If you and Christ are united, you'll be useful here. And you'll be useful forevermore, raising a crown of praise and resting not night and day in the land of praises to which we journey. We will do thee good. Satan is a deceiver. Sin is a deceiver. The world is a deceiver. The proud world is deceiving your soul, my fellow sinner, on your way through this world. Young man, you make choice of Christ in your early years. Don't be deluded by this world, the folly of it, the pride of it and the arrogancy of it. Don't be ensnared and bewitched by a deceiving world. Young woman, don't you be ensnared by the glitter and glamour and fashion of the world. Poor sinners, going down to a lost eternity without God and without hope. Your work is not to imitate them, but to your work is to come with us, the true believing Church of Christ, on their way to everlasting glory, is saying to you, come thou with us. Your duty towards your worldly friends is to warn them, to tell them to flee from the wrath which is to come. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. We are journeying unto a place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Hobab said, I will not go. Moses could not prevail upon him. Every time the gospel is preached, It's not Moses, but Christ. Yes, it's the Father who's offering salvation to you. For Jesus' sake, just as David sent word to the house of Saul, is there yet any in the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him for Jonathan's sake? And that is what the gospel is. God the Father offering salvation to sinners for the love that he has to Jesus, to his own Son. Is there yet any in a state of nature in Glasgow that I may show the kindness of God unto him for Jesus' sake? Ah, don't be deceived, my dear friend, by the world, the bewitching world, a deceiving multitudes. Multitudes who never heard the gospel. And if you go down to the blackness of darkness here from a pew, under the sound of the gospel, they will curse you forever that you did not tell them that there was a way to escape. You will be an astonishment to all eternity, in a lost eternity, that you did not make use of the way that was clearly declared in the preaching of the word. Your strokes and lashes will be unbearable. They will be unsufferable. They will be without remedy in the deepest hell. That is what sin offers. That is what Satan offers. That's what worldly men offer, who make a scoff of sin and who make a scoff of religion. That's what they're offering you. Satan uncovers the bait, the hook that drags sinners to hell with fair colors. And how often have you been exhorted to flee from the wrath which is to come? And yet the Lord calls again, "Leave us not, I pray thee. Leave us not, I pray thee." When a person turns his back on the truth, it's a most solemn day. Turning his back upon salvation, turning his back upon Christ, for the froth of the world, for the men of the world. Leave us not, I pray thee, but come thou with us, and we will do thee good. Wilt thou go with this man? May he bless his word to us. Let us pray. Lord, enable us to confess that great and solemn issues concern us as rational creatures. We are not as the beasts who have but bodies, who will go down to the dust when life leaves them. But we have souls, immortal souls. Have mercy on us, Lord, and help us. Forgive all our sins against thee. Bless the work of the Sabbath this day here, and in other places. Bless us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Make us like Ruth, who said, I will not, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go. Oh, to be found in, amongst those, forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. They will sing in Psalm 81. And from verse 13, Oh, that my people had me heard, Israel, my ways had chose. I had their enemies soon subdued, my hand turned on their foes. The haters of the Lord to him submission should have feigned, but as for them, their time should have forevermore remained. He should have also fed them with the finest of the wheat, of honey from the rock thy fill. I should have made thee eat. Psalm 81. Verse 13, Oh, that my people had me heard.